This is a time of tremendous nuclear uncertainty and fear because of India and Pakistan, and because we face the threat of terrorists using a nuclear weapon in the U.S. My guest, Dr. Robert J. Lifton, is a psychiatrist who has written extensively about the psychological impact of living in a world with nuclear weapons. He's the author of books about nuclear war, cult groups, Hiroshima survivors, and Nazi doctors. His latest book is called Destroying the World to Save It, Om Shinrikyo, Apocalyptic Violence, and the New Global Terrorism. Lifton is currently a visiting professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School and Cambridge Hospital. We've been checking in with him from time to time since September 11th. You know, I was just reading an article in the New York Times this week about what the reaction is in Pakistan to the possibility of nuclear war. And the director of the Federal Department of Civil Defense was quoted as saying, when asked about the advice he'd give the public to prepare for war, he said, "I think everybody should pray. I think Almighty Allah will help us. We will be saved, God willing." The article went on to talk about the fatalism in Pakistan, with people saying things like, "We're Muslims. When it's time to die, we'll die." And the writer said this religious fatalism is being echoed around the city in offices and shops, at restaurants. What goes through your mind when you read about this?
You know, fatalism is a stance that is given us by all religions. It's not only Islamic. But where fatalism is put forward prior to using a nuclear weapon and in relation to possibly using it, that's scary, because then it becomes a kind of defense mechanism. It's related to a form of numbing. And above all, what you feel from Pakistan and India and from ourselves and the rest of the world as well is a lack of the visual truths of what these weapons will do to human beings, a lack of calling forth what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, for instance. One sees all that nowhere, when sees references to them here and there, but never the visceral, never evoking the visceral dimension of what really happened there. And that statement about fatalism also reminds me of another quote in the New York Times recently from a retired Pakistani general, in which he said, "I don't know why people are getting so excited about nuclear war. You know, you can die in a traffic accident or you can die in nuclear war. What's the difference?" In a way, there's an absurd semi-truth to that for an individual person, but it totally blocks out what happens to the world, what happens to humanity with the use of a nuclear weapon.
The impression I get is that a lot of people in India and Pakistan, and perhaps a lot of their leaders as well, aren't that educated about the actual effects of detonated nuclear weapons.
Well, that's right. Every indication is that people in India and Pakistan don't really know much about or don't really think much about what those weapons really do. One has to add that in our own population, there's also a somewhat limited knowledge and a limited tendency to think about it, but perhaps not as limited as in India and Pakistan. And in that sense, when they're posturing and threatening and talking about the possibility of war or nuclear war, there's very little reality in it. There's very little actual element. There's very little of what actually would happen in relation to particularly a nuclear war. It's kind of abstract, vague talk about, well, we have to stand up for this or for that, and anyhow, our people are religious or fatalistic, and whatever happens will happen, without really taking in what actually would happen, which is overwhelming, which is vastly destructive on a scale never really equaled before, and which would be of the most catastrophic nature, not just to Indians and Pakistanis, though to them more than anyone, but to the rest of the world. A nuclear war in India and Pakistan could threaten the future of civilization. It's that extreme. So all that is really left out of what one perceives or doesn't perceive in relation to nuclear war.
My guest is Dr. Robert J. Lifton. He's currently a visiting professor of psychiatry at Harvard University. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is psychiatrist Dr. Robert J. Lifton. He's written extensively about cult groups, apocalyptic violence, and the psychological impact of living in a world with nuclear weapons. What scenario do you imagine if India and Pakistan do start a nuclear war?
What scenario? Well, there are several scenarios, and they're all dreadful. There would be some kind of so-called exchange of weapons, and even if there were a single exchange, which one cannot be sure of, the radiation would waft all over much of the world, and there would be radiation effects on just about every part of the globe. But that isn't the worst scenario, because there could be not just a single exchange, but a continuous exchange in which more than one weapon would be used by each side, assuming there's the possibility of each side mounting a second or third weapon, which could very well be the case, because, you know, weapons are protected better than people. So the scenario could be, in some degree, limited, so-called limited nuclear war with dreadful consequences throughout India and Pakistan and much of the world, or it could be worse than that, where the nuclear war would be great enough that civilization would be threatened. And for those reasons, the reaction not just of the United States or of India and Pakistan, but of the world in general has been inadequate and insufficient given the dimension of danger. Why hasn't there been declared a world crisis, a special meeting of the Security Council of the United Nations? Why isn't the Secretary General out there in India and Pakistan with the encouragement of the rest of the world to help prevent nuclear war?
At the same time that we're bracing ourselves for the possibility of a nuclear war in India and Pakistan, we're bracing ourselves for the possibility of another terrorist attack in the United States. In fact, we've been told that there might be some kind of like dirty bomb, some kind of small nuclear bomb that might be detonated here by terrorists. Our government has basically told us that another terrorist attack is inevitable, although they can't predict what form that attack would take. And I'm wondering what you think the psychological impact is for us of hearing that another terrorist attack is inevitable.
It's important for the government to tell us about real dangers, but simply saying, as the Secretary of Defense did, that the use of weapons of mass destruction by terrorists against us is inevitable, is simply frightening to the population because it lacks the necessary combination that leadership should have, namely a combination of candor and hope. There's little hope there, and it sounds like an edgy or anxious statement of our leadership, and perhaps a defensive one, as they were being criticized for not acting sooner or in a more effective way prior to September 11th, just before they made those statements. So Americans then tend to be rather frightened and confused and don't feel guided or helped through this tremendously disturbing time, but rather simply threatened without any avenue of hope or escape.
Dr. Lifton, any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
I do feel we're moving into a somewhat new phase on the part of the American people in which there are doubts and questions, almost for the first time on a large scale, about the effectiveness of what's being done to prevent terrorism. There are doubts about whether what our leaders are doing will really protect us, and that makes Americans uneasy, because there was earlier a kind of war fever, which occurs whenever a country declares that it is fighting a war. People rally behind, and they bring great enthusiasm to that war. Now there's a drawing back and something approaching disillusionment as we wonder about the war on terrorism and what it's really doing to protect us and whether it has destructive elements of its own.
Dr. Lifton, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Robert J. Lifton is currently a visiting professor of psychiatry at Harvard University. His latest book is Destroying the World to Save It, Om Shinrikyo, Apocalyptic Violence and the New Global Terrorism.